Budapest University of Technology and Economics, Language Examination Center. This recording is copyright. Advanced Level Examination. Listening, Part 1. You will hear a text. Read the candidate's copy beforehand. You will have 1 minute for that. Then listen to the text and make notes in English. You will hear the text twice. After the first listening, you will have 2 minutes to answer the questions. After the second listening, you will have 2 minutes to finalize your answers in English on the yellow answer sheet. Now you'll have 1 minute to read the prompts. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
U.S. stock markets surged early Friday in anticipation that the House of Representatives would pass a revised financial bailout plan. But after the bill passed and President Bush signed it, prices dropped. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished Friday down 157 points, or 1.5%. The Nasdaq also lost 1.5%, and the S&P 500 slid 1.4%. European stock markets finished higher on Friday, but markets in Asia were down. London's Financial Times Index was up 2.25%, the CAC 40 in Paris gained 3%, and the DAX in Frankfurt advanced 2.4%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index lost 2%, and in Hong Kong the Hang Seng fell nearly 3%. The dollar was lower against the Japanese yen, but gained against the euro. Asia's central banks have invested billions of dollars in credit markets since the U.S. financial crisis started to spread in September. The Secretary General of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, Supachai Panichipak, said Friday the rescue plan is only a first step toward major reform of the U.S. financial system.
This is just to prevent the crisis from deepening. It doesn't mean that we have already succeeded in tackling the basic issue. So there needs to be a rethinking of the way that financial institutions have been managed and been regulated in the United States and I think throughout the world.
The U.S. House of Representatives voted 263-171 to approve more than $700 billion in government spending to help stabilize the financial markets. Some lawmakers, like Democrat Barbara Lee of California, had voted against the bailout on Monday, but agreed to pass the enhanced legislation on Friday.
We will not magically turn the economy around, reverse the rise in unemployment, or end this recession which we're in now. We must be honest about that. But I must err on the side of caution so our seniors can have some confidence that their pensions are safe. And I hope that we'll be able to help prevent this financial crisis from exacting an even bigger toll on the everyday lives of our constituents.
Others, like Republican Marilyn Musgrave of Colorado, remained unconvinced.
Taxpayers for generations will pay for our haste, and there's no guarantee that they'll ever see the benefits. We should not reward bad behavior. Wall Street won't have to learn its lesson, and we're not doing anything to keep them from running our economy into the ground again.
Almost all members of the House will be up for re-election in about a month, and mail, email, and telephone calls to their offices showed overwhelming opposition to the bailout. President Bush signed the bill shortly after the vote. He thanked lawmakers from both parties for their support and said the bill's passage sends a strong signal to markets around the world.
We have shown the world that the United States of America will stabilize our financial markets and maintain a leading role in the global economy.
One factor in Friday's losses on Wall Street was news from the U.S. Labor Department that the country lost 159,000 jobs in September. It was the biggest job loss in more than 5 years. The U.S. unemployment rate remained at 6.1%, largely because hundreds of thousands of people were leaving the workforce. The reduction in payrolls was much sharper than economists were predicting, and this was the ninth straight month that the country has lost jobs. Stuart Hoffman, an economist with PNC Financial, says the job losses are a bad sign for the U.S. economy.
This is a sign that the American worker's hurting, they're losing jobs, and the economy's recession, which we believe it's been in for a while, is getting worse, not better.
Meanwhile, two big U.S. banks are battling to take over the troubled bank Wachovia. Wells Fargo signed a $15 billion agreement Friday to buy the institution without government assistance. However, under a deal announced Monday, Citigroup would acquire Wachovia with the help of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which insisted Friday that the earlier agreement go forward. Nancy Atkinson, senior analyst with the ITA Group, says Wells Fargo made Wachovia a better deal.
Wells Fargo's financial standing is more secure than Citigroup's right now, and they're acquiring all of Wachovia, whereas Citi was excluding A.G. Edwards and Evergreen.
The Federal Reserve says it has not yet had time to review the proposed sale to Wells Fargo. Kent Klein, VOA News, Washington.
Now listen again.
U.S. stock markets surged early Friday in anticipation that the House of Representatives would pass a revised financial bailout plan. But after the bill passed and President Bush signed it, prices dropped. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished Friday down 157 points, or 1.5%. The Nasdaq also lost 1.5%, and the S&P 500 slid 1.4%. European stock markets finished higher on Friday, but markets in Asia were down. London's Financial Times Index was up 2.25%, the CAC 40 in Paris gained 3%, and the DAX in Frankfurt advanced 2.4%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index lost 2%, and in Hong Kong the Hang Seng fell nearly 3%. The dollar was lower against the Japanese yen, but gained against the euro. Asia's central banks have invested billions of dollars in credit markets since the U.S. financial crisis started to spread in September. The Secretary General of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, Supachai Panichipak, said Friday the rescue plan is only a first step toward major reform of the U.S. financial system.
This is just to prevent the crisis from deepening. It doesn't mean that we have already succeeded in tackling the basic issue. So there needs to be a rethinking of the way that financial institutions have been managed and been regulated in the United States and I think throughout the world.
The U.S. House of Representatives voted 263 to 171 to approve more than $700 billion in government spending to help stabilize the financial markets. Some lawmakers, like Democrat Barbara Lee of California, had voted against the bailout on Monday, but agreed to pass the enhanced legislation on Friday.
We will not magically turn the economy around, reverse the rise in unemployment, or end this recession which we're in now. We must be honest about that. But I must err on the side of caution so our seniors can have some confidence that their pensions are safe. And I hope that we'll be able to help prevent this financial crisis from exacting an even bigger toll on the everyday lives of our constituents.
Others, like Republican Marilyn Musgrave of Colorado, remained unconvinced.
Taxpayers for generations will pay for our haste, and there's no guarantee that they'll ever see the benefits. We should not reward bad behavior. Wall Street won't have to learn its lesson, and we're not doing anything to keep them from running our economy into the ground again.
Almost all members of the House will be up for re-election in about a month, and mail, email, and telephone calls to their offices showed overwhelming opposition to the bailout. President Bush signed the bill shortly after the vote. He thanked lawmakers from both parties for their support and said the bill's passage sends a strong signal to markets around the world.
We have shown the world that the United States of America will stabilize our financial markets and maintain a leading role in the global economy.
One factor in Friday's losses on Wall Street was news from the U.S. Labor Department that the country lost 159,000 jobs in September. It was the biggest job loss in more than 5 years. The U.S. unemployment rate remained at 6.1%, largely because hundreds of thousands of people were leaving the workforce. The reduction in payrolls was much sharper than economists were predicting, and this was the ninth straight month that the country has lost jobs. Stuart Hoffman, an economist with PNC Financial, says the job losses are a bad sign for the U.S. economy.
This is a sign that the American worker's hurting, they're losing jobs, and the economy's recession, which we believe it's been in for a while, is getting worse, not better.
Meanwhile, two big U.S. banks are battling to take over the troubled bank Wachovia. Wells Fargo signed a $15 billion agreement Friday to buy the institution without government assistance. However, under a deal announced Monday, Citigroup would acquire Wachovia with the help of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which insisted Friday that the earlier agreement go forward. Nancy Atkinson, senior analyst with the Aite Group, says Wells Fargo made Wachovia a better deal.
Wells Fargo's financial standing is more secure than Citigroup's right now, and they're acquiring all of Wachovia, whereas Citi was excluding A.G. Edwards and Evergreen.
The Federal Reserve says it has not yet had time to review the proposed sale to Wells Fargo. Kent Klein, VOA News, Washington.
Now you can copy your answers onto the answer sheet. This is the end of part one. Listening part two. You will hear a text. Read the 10 statements on the candidate copy beforehand. You will have 2 minutes for that. Then listen to the text. If you think the statement is correct, put a tick under T. If you think the statement is not correct, put a tick under F. You will hear the text twice. After the first listening, you will have 2 minutes to answer the questions. After the second listening, you will have 2 minutes to finalize your answers. Indicate your answers on the yellow answer sheet. Now you'll have 2 minutes to read the statements through. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Lessons from Extraordinary Women. As producer, writer, editor of the documentary series Second Chance, Make It Work, I've had the privilege of telling the stories of 65 extraordinary women over the past 3 years. Second Chance has, as its mandate, a mission to explore the lives of everyday women who have overcome some kind of obstacle and then used the wisdom they have gained to create something new in their lives. These inspiring women have developed their unique and often adverse life experiences into skills which they now use in their work lives. Some people achieve mastery over challenges posed by physical disability, then share their skills with others. Lorraine Siao lost the majority of her hearing after a bout with mumps at age 12. Nevertheless, with her parents' support, she persevered through high school and university and became a pharmacist in her native Malaysia. Today, she has found work that is more suited to her skills. With her profound understanding of the learning difficulties of the deaf, she enrolled in a deaf education program at York University and is now a high school teacher for deaf teens. For many people, making the best of a situation that is in many ways debilitating can be the catalyst of re-education and a new career direction. Jennifer Mason, an aspiring opera singer, became debilitated with rheumatoid arthritis before she could get her career started. Always creative, Jennifer looked for other ways to express herself. She recorded an album, Mothers of the World, and today is a portrait artist. Jennifer is also a poster girl and spokesperson for AARC, the Arthritis and Autoimmunity Research Centre in Toronto. Sometimes overcoming the many obstacles of immigrating to a new country can provide the necessary skills needed to start a new venture. During her teen years, Mina Jafari Rowe studied cosmetology in the United States. But then, when Iran was plunged into revolution, Mina found these skills were no longer valued. When her husband was incarcerated for liberal ideas, Mina was forced to flee the country with four small children. As a refugee in Turkey, Mina soon discovered entrepreneurial ways of providing for her children. After 10 years in Turkey, Mina finally relocated her family to Canada. Here, Mina combined her earlier passion for cosmetology with her more recently developed business skills. She started a beauty salon, which soon became a small spa empire. Many adults learn where their career interests lie when they are well past the standard formal time for career training. Meredith Seafield Grant suffered from anorexia and bulimia throughout her 20s and early 30s, where many people are focused on developing their career skills. Once she overcame her eating disorder, however, Meredith was able to use her experience to expand her career and to help others. Today, Meredith conducts educational workshops on eating disorders and is on the board of directors of Sheena's Place, a support centre for people with eating disorders in downtown Toronto. She has also written a book about those experiences, Road to the Rainbow. Many great non-profit organisations are filled with people who are passionate about the service they offer. That's because many of the staff members were formerly the recipients of the services they now provide. Diana Capone, along with her mother and siblings, suffered tremendous abuse from her father throughout her childhood. After numerous trips to psychiatric wards and overcoming drug addiction, Diana was motivated to change after becoming a mum. She put herself through college and then began working for a transition centre called Nellie's. Next, Diana became the executive director of the Ontario Council of Alternative Businesses, an organisation which exclusively hires psychiatric survivors and helps them build their own businesses. Currently, Diana is the Client Employment Coordinator at the Centre for Addiction and Mental Health, where she works to break down barriers between employees and those who use their services. Opportunities for growth and change are often even more difficult for women, as they are usually the primary caregivers for their children. But sometimes, the desire to make a better life for their child is in itself enough impetus to make changes. When Suzanne Dimmer's daughter became the victim of childhood sexual abuse, Suzanne was galvanised to see justice done. After pursuing a conviction for the offender, Suzanne realised her passion was in pursuing victims' rights. With small children at home, Suzanne went back to school in order to gain the necessary skills to develop her career. Today, Suzanne is employed by MADD, where she continues to fight for the rights of victims of crime. Adult education includes all the experiences that we have during the course of our lives and what we have learnt from them. Everyday life experiences enrich our lives, building in us skills that we can and do use in the future.
Now listen again.
Lessons from Extraordinary Women. As producer, writer, editor of the documentary series Second Chance, Make It Work, I've had the privilege of telling the stories of 65 extraordinary women over the past 3 years. Second Chance has, as its mandate, a mission to explore the lives of everyday women who have overcome some kind of obstacle and then used the wisdom they have gained to create something new in their lives. These inspiring women have developed their unique and often adverse life experiences into skills which they now use in their work lives. Some people achieve mastery over challenges posed by physical disability, then share their skills with others. Lorraine Siao lost the majority of her hearing after a bout with mumps at age 12. Nevertheless, with her parents' support, she persevered through high school and university and became a pharmacist in her native Malaysia. Today, she has found work that is more suited to her skills. With her profound understanding of the learning difficulties of the deaf, she enrolled in a deaf education program at York University and is now a high school teacher for deaf teens. For many people, making the best of a situation that is in many ways debilitating can be the catalyst of re-education and a new career direction. Jennifer Mason, an aspiring opera singer, became debilitated with rheumatoid arthritis before she could get her career started. Always creative, Jennifer looked for other ways to express herself. She recorded an album, Mothers of the World, and today is a portrait artist. Jennifer is also a poster girl and spokesperson for AARC, the Arthritis and Autoimmunity Research Centre in Toronto. Sometimes overcoming the many obstacles of immigrating to a new country can provide the necessary skills needed to start a new venture. During her teen years, Mina Jafari Rowe studied cosmetology in the United States. But then, when Iran was plunged into revolution, Mina found these skills were no longer valued. When her husband was incarcerated for liberal ideas, Mina was forced to flee the country with 4 small children. As a refugee in Turkey, Mina soon discovered entrepreneurial ways of providing for her children. After 10 years in Turkey, Mina finally relocated her family to Canada. Here, Mina combined her earlier passion for cosmetology with her more recently developed business skills. She started a beauty salon, which soon became a small spa empire. Many adults learn where their career interests lie when they are well past the standard formal time for career training. Meredith Seafield Grant suffered from anorexia and bulimia throughout her 20s and early 30s, when many people are focused on developing their career skills. Once she overcame her eating disorder, however, Meredith was able to use her experience to expand her career and to help others. Today, Meredith conducts educational workshops on eating disorders and is on the board of directors of Sheena's Place, a support centre for people with eating disorders in downtown Toronto. She has also written a book about those experiences, Road to the Rainbow. Many great non-profit organisations are filled with people who are passionate about the service they offer. That's because many of the staff members were formerly the recipients of the services they now provide. Diana Capone, along with her mother and siblings, suffered tremendous abuse from her father throughout her childhood. After numerous trips to psychiatric wards and overcoming drug addiction, Diana was motivated to change after becoming a mum. She put herself through college and then began working for a transition centre called Nellie's. Next, Diana became the executive director of the Ontario Council of Alternative Businesses, an organisation which exclusively hires psychiatric survivors and helps them build their own businesses. Currently, Diana is the Client Employment Coordinator at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, where she works to break down barriers between employees and those who use their services. Opportunities for growth and change are often even more difficult for women, as they are usually the primary caregivers for their children. But sometimes, the desire to make a better life for their child is in itself enough impetus to make changes. When Suzanne Dimmer's daughter became the victim of childhood sexual abuse, Suzanne was galvanised to see justice done. After pursuing a conviction for the offender, Suzanne realised her passion was in pursuing victims' rights. With small children at home, Suzanne went back to school in order to gain the necessary skills to develop her career. Today, Suzanne is employed by MADD, where she continues to fight for the rights of victims of crime. Adult education includes all the experiences that we have during the course of our lives and what we have learnt from them. Everyday life experiences enrich our lives, building in us skills that we can and do use in the future.
Now you can copy your answers onto the answer sheet. This is the end of the test.